Our God and Father, we just thank you again that we can come together as a local body and sing praises to your holy name. Thank you again for the song that has been opened up for a prayer meeting tonight. I pray that you would just bless our time together with Rod as he leaves, that you would come in the power of your Spirit, give him the words to say, Father, that you would have hearts teachable from your word. Father, I just pray that you would even use us this night to bring the concerns of your people and of your kingdom to you. And we just pray that you would be honored and glorified as sitting down here in this house tonight. Thank you again for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So I have a message, and I'm going to preach. Nani said, 10 minutes.
Baptist minutes or?
Baptist minutes. In second, I want you, I gave this already with this, and you heard this already. Even with Alice Crawford, when she was with us. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10, it's about Naaman. I want to pronounce Naaman. When God instruct Elisha, and Elisha told Naaman to go to the river of Jordan to get how many times?
Seven.
Seven times. That he has to dip himself in the river of Jordan.
Second Kings 5.
But what?
Where?
2 Kings chapter 5, 8, 9, and 10. But the response of Naaman is, well, what about Abana, Parpar? Or the river of Damascus. Why can I go here? Is this better than is the river of Jordan better than this river or anything else? But his response in verse 11, I saw the word that Naaman was wroth in King James Version. And in verse 12, he was enraged. Right? And then what happened is I want you to have an understanding that there is a mystery between man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, that it goes together, and there is a mystery on that, but the explanation I cannot explain. All we have to respond is to acknowledge what God said. If there is an instruction, we have to obey the instruction. Like when Jesus was with his disciples, and they came across of this man who was blind from birth. And they were asking, who sinned? This man or his parents or anyone or anything else? But Jesus Christ said, no. This man was blind from birth so that I may be able to proclaim and declare my power, to demonstrate my power on that very incident. But it's something like this. When we go on the man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, God ordained that this man was blind from birth. But when he spat on the ground and make a spit on and put in the eyes of the blind man, or I call it total depravity, without knowing that you are dirty, you need without realizing that you need to be cleansed, You don't know that. But when Jesus Christ put, you know, clay or something, a dirt in his eyes, and then Christ said, go and wash yourself in the river of Jordan. Jordan? Nah, you're not just paddling. Siloam. I'm just trying because the people look at me.
Falling asleep.
Go into the river and into the pool of Siloam. It's something like this. Again, I am going to repeat. Why is it that God is giving us an instruction to perform on our duty as part of our responsibility to do these things, and the result is a blessing, and that blessing has been ordained by God according to His sovereignty? I cannot explain that.
I cannot explain that.
But it goes together. When Jesus Christ said, repent and be baptized, why is it that we need to be baptized? So it goes together. Man's responsibility and the sovereignty of God goes together. And there's a mystery. All we have to do is what? Obey the instruction. Obey the command. And there's a blessing. I repeat, that blessing has been ordained before the foundation of the world. It's sovereignty. Now, Brother Rod, what is the significance of this that you are telling about the man's responsibility and God's sovereignty in our prayer? Right? It's something like this. Prayer is part of man's responsibility. There is also a mystery that is happening in prayer, in communication with God. But in prayer, there are several or two things that we have to bear in mind. And we're going to jump on the prayer of Jesus Christ. But remember when He said, this is how we're going to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, there is a submission. We are praying and there's a submission according to the will of God. We have to submit. We are in subjection to the will of God. We may be able to understand that when we go on the agonizing prayer of Christ in Gethsemane. He said, Jesus Christ is God Himself. He knows that He is going to die on the cross. But in His prayer, the agonizing prayer, the word agonizing is in King James Version, there's a struggle because there's a temptation maybe of Satan doing something. And Jesus Christ is agonizing Himself in that prayer. And He knows already that as God Himself, it has been ordained by God the Father that He is going to die on the cross. But He is, in His prayer, He is submitting Himself in subjection to the will of the Father. So we have to bear in mind something like this. In our prayer, there are two things that we have to consider. Number one is, we are praying, we have a petition, we are requesting and asking God for something. And while doing that, we are considering on the other side of the coin that we are submitting ourselves to the will of the Father, whatever. Something like, Lord, I pray that my sickness will be healed or will be gone. But if it is the will of God that I am going to experience this, I will still rejoice and be glad in it because this is part of my tribulation. So that there is in subjection, there's a willingness to submit yourself in the will of the God, in the will of the Father, in the will of God, in His sovereign will, in His desiderative will, that on the other hand, you are also submitting yourself the negative side or the other side of the coin. I want you to understand that. Then, if we are going to open our Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, according to King James Version, it says, pray without ceasing. In New King James Version, verse 17, same thing, pray without ceasing. Unceasingly, but some translation or direct translation is said regularly. Pray regularly. It's something like this. I do not believe. I do not believe that when Paul said to the Church of Thessalonica, "Pray without ceasing," I do not believe it's a general name prayer, because we cannot make ourselves continuously pray. I need to go to the washroom, I need to eat, I need to work. So there are several things that I need to do. But what Paul is trying to say, that we can exegete that word with respect to God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, and trying to connect those things in the prayer, it's something like this. It is our responsibility to pray. When Paul said, pray without ceasing, I do believe that it is not when you encounter problem, then you go into prayer. When there's something like a prayer request, then you go into prayer. It's something like this. Pray without ceasing. You are considering a very direct, specific situation or person that you are going to pray without ceasing, without stopping. Don't give up. Even if it takes a couple of years, number of years, and even for the rest of your life, you are not going to stop. I was surprised, and I had to share this. After the incident, in Kingston incident with Lazar, Sonia Liberts is praying for Lazar continuously every day.
Even before that.
See that? Even before that. Every day. We don't know that. We just learn it later. Somebody has pinpointed and chosen, I'm going to pray for this person without ceasing, without stopping. Okay? And then when we visited Winnipeg at this weekend, we learned and we were surprised with joy and gladness that a certain Christian family is praying for the De Guzman family every day, even though they don't know what's happening 3 years ago. They don't know what's happening last year. They don't know what's happening towards Lazar. But they are praying every day. They have chosen it. And without ceasing, without stopping, continuous, they have selected that. That I do believe that Paul is trying to say, pray without ceasing. It is a specific, direct, whether it's a situation or a person. I do believe that. It's not like the general word, prayer, without ceasing. It's a specific. My question is like this. Have we considered a certain person in our life as a Christian to pray for that person without ceasing? Even though you don't know what's happening to that person, what's happening and what happened or anything, you don't know, you don't have any idea of that person. Like for example, Krista. We don't know where she is. We don't know. Have anybody taken her name and be a part of your prayer without ceasing? Right on this very room, Marvin announced years ago, we cannot get a leader, a pastor. And Marvin decided maybe we have to dismantle the group. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We have to dismantle the group. There are several families here. And Jason was sitting here, and the corporate over there, right in this very room. My attitude, I remember that. My attitude is I rebuke, and I told the group something like this. To have Marvin as a leader is just enough. But to pray, to have a leader, or to pray for a pastor, we have to continue. Continue without ceasing, without stopping. Even if it takes number of years, we're going to continue. But God ordained that He gave us a pastor. You remember that? That is the meaning of prayer without ceasing. And I, lately, while studying the context, but actually it's not the context, I am just trying to exegete that verse and make it very simple. I had chosen one person to pray without ceasing, even though I don't know what's happening to that person. So that's the meaning of the prayer. First, we have to bear in mind the balanced teaching of responsibility and God's sovereignty. In our prayer, we have to submit and in subjection to His will, although we are trying to understand the other side of the coin, if it is not according to our desire, but God's desire to have that. And then second is the meaning of Paul's instruction to the Church of Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. We have to consider, again, I repeat, specific, a situation for a person. Even though you don't know that person, even though you don't know what's happening to that person, do not give up. Do not stop. Do not cease. Even if it takes a number of years. I do believe that. Because it happened. I want to share that. So, I have one request that the church, every time we gather, every Wednesday that we gather, we have to pray. We have to choose a certain person that we're going to pray every Wednesday without ceasing. Even if it is your relatives, my relatives, or whatever, choose one person. Starting now, I do believe that God's going to grant that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to study your word, your sovereignty, our responsibility, our prayer, the attitude, without ceasing. All these things have been given to us tonight. And we pray, Lord, that to the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to continue praying. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.